All right, next we've got fluid nitrogen and sulfur formulations to mitigate sulfur deficiency and maximize cotton yields in the upper southeast coastal plain.
Thank you, Trey. If there's anybody in here, do y'all deal with sulfur deficiency in y'all's cotton crop or corn crops? Is it a common occurrence? All right, so that I approached the Fluid Fertilizer Foundation a couple years ago to look at different combinations. Our standard protocol is just a urea or ammonium sulfate granular blend, or we also use a 24-003, which is a 32% UAN solution, mixed with ammonium sulfate, dissolved ammonium sulfate blend to get added sulfur out. So sulfur is an essential plant nutrient. In our coastal plain soils, it's very mobile. It's hard to get a hold on where our sulfur status is because of its variability across the landscape, and it will leach just like nitrate will leach in our soils. So we manage it like nitrogen. Most of our sulfur goes out with nitrogen in our corn and cotton systems and wheat systems. The big factor in all this is the Clean Air Act has cleaned up our atmosphere, and we don't get the sulfur deposition we used to get across the landscape in this eastern part of the U.S. So here's a map, and I always show this. When I talk about sulfur fertility in the southeast U.S. or in the mid-Atlantic, so that was 1989 and 1991. This is wet sulfur deposition across the landscape. The darker the red, the higher the deposition. You see it goes all the way up to about 32 kilograms per hectare, which is about 30 pounds of sulfur. And this is 2013 to 2015, and as you see that we don't have a lot of sulfur being deposited across the landscape, and that's mainly due to these calcium scrubbers on these coal-burning power plants in the eastern part of the U.S. We're cleaning up our air, which is a good thing, but farmers aren't getting that free sulfur that they were getting 20 years ago. So what do we do to combat it? So this is a trial that two trials, actually, that we had on the Tidewater Research Center. This is a Yanola sandy loam soil. The trial on the right had about 40 pounds of sulfur put on it. The trial on the left of the yellow line had about 5 pounds of sulfur put on it. And that did 1,500 pounds, which is really respectable yield, but this almost did 1,900 pounds of lint. Just the difference in sulfur rate. They had basically the same nitrogen put on them, even though there were some different nitrogen rates in there, but on average it was the same N rate across both trials. So we see a pretty good sulfur response across our coastal plain soils in Virginia and in the upper southeast coastal plain. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to look at different sulfur rates, but also evaluate different fluid N sources that would give us varying sulfur rates for the same amount of N. So what we wanted to do is we looked at 24-003, 24-006, and 24-009S solutions, compared that to granular urea and ammonium sulfate formulations at different sulfur levels, constant N rates, and then we looked at varying N rates. So we've seen a lot of nitrogen lectures this morning or presentations this morning about cotton response to nitrogen. We typically see 100 to 120 pounds of nitrogen in Virginia maximizes cotton yields, but we can see responses greater than that. We can push our N rates up to about 150 in high yield environments and still see responses. So we wanted to see if we needed more sulfur at those higher N rates, and if we get that nitrogen sulfur balance out of whack in the plant, if we can cause any adverse effects in cotton. So we had three locations 2016, three locations 2017. It's a randomized complete block design, 17 treatments, 4 replications. Again, we compared urea to ammonium sulfate at 4 sulfur rates at constant N rate of 100 pounds. And then we looked at UAN solutions and ammonium thiosulfate. Now, we used ammonium thiosulfate because of that higher percentage S. It allowed us to get to that 9S solution, whereas opposed to ammonium sulfate mix, which is 8009S, will not allow you to get to that 9% sulfur solution in the fluid sources. NDVI, I'm not going to talk about that, but we did measure that from a week after in application, sulfur application for 5 weeks at the Tidewater location. We took petiole and leaf tissue samples during the first week of bloom. I'm a big proponent in taking petiole and leaf tissues. We don't typically run into moisture problems as much as in some of the arid conditions if it gets dry affecting, because we do get adequate rainfall typically year in and year out. And then we measured yield. And then I did two analyses with Proclimix. I did the granular versus fluid sources by the four sulfur rates, and then four fluid formulations by three nitrogen rates analysis with as an ANOVA in SAS. So this is just a treatment list. You have your no N or S control. Then you have your urea at 100 pounds of total N. That's 80 put out at side dress. That's at first square. We typically do a 20% up front and then 80% at side dress in our cotton production system. And that's mainly due to leaching effects and leaching losses on our sandy soils. And then we have the different fluid formulations from treatments 6 through 17. And those were knifed in about 6 inches from the row. So we used a knifing rig to put those in, put those out, those fluid sources. So this is our the treatments that we were going to look at 100-pound rates. So when we compared urea plus ammonium sulfate, we compared it to the 100-pound rates of each fluid source. But these are kind of our grower standards in Virginia. Those two top rates buffer the 10 and 20 pounds is our sulfur recommendations, and then that 24003 is basically what our growers are doing in the field if they're using fluid sources with their dribbling in the row metals with high boys. Just going to results. So I wanted to show this picture. So this is a picture at the Tidewater ADREC. It was in 2016. It was our only responsive site because of Hurricane Matthew decided to come in and drop 15 inches of rain across our growing area. But this site had the highest yields where the other sites were 400 or 500 pound yields due to the hurricane. But on the left here, we have 0 pounds of nitrogen, 0 pounds of sulfur. So that's our nitrogen check, our sulfur check. And that's nitrogen deficient. You can see some pale yellowing in that plot, that four-row plot, compared to the other plots next to it. And then we get to this picture on the right, and I was in China when they put these treatments out. And when I got back 2 weeks later, my technician came to me and said, "You got to go look at that field. I think we messed up." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, we put nitrogen on these plots, but they're as yellow as they can be." And I said, "Well, I'll go out and look and rate it and then look at the treatment list and see what we got." And what I quickly noticed was when we injected 100 pounds of nitrogen as 32% without any sulfur, we exacerbated the nitrogen-sulfur ratio in that plant, and those plants look neon yellow in the field. But we did not see that with the urea-only treatment. We only saw this in the injected plots. And when we started looking at petiole levels of nitrate versus sulfur in the plant and then leaf tissue concentrations, what we found was petiole, I'm not going to go into this today, but petiole nitrates were about 13,000 parts per million in the injected at first bloom, whereas our granular treatments were around 7,000 to 8,000. So we got to definitely increase the efficiency of uptake of nitrogen, which exacerbated that nitrogen-sulfur ratio in these injected plots. The other thing that is kind of disturbing to me, especially with visual sulfur deficiency symptoms in the field, when we looked at leaf sulfur versus petiole sulfur, and I wanted to regress this because if you send a petiole to Waters Agricultural Laboratories, they'll give you a petiole sulfur value. Well, there's nothing in literature about where thresholds are for petiole sulfurs. We have leaf sulfur concentrations, but there's nothing in literature establishing a petiole sulfur threshold. So my purpose for that was to evaluate where we need to be with petiole sulfur to make recommendations on that and compare it to leaf sulfur. Well, these are the check plots, no sulfur checks, from three locations in 2016. None of our checks fell below the critical level for sulfur deficiency, even though we had visual sulfur deficiencies in the field, which is disturbing. And we see this with nitrogen in Virginia as well. Very few of our actual plots or averages fall below deficiency with leaf nitrogen. Even with zero nitrogen in the field, it's nitrogen deficient. It breaks out, it yields less, but we don't see that fall below the threshold. So with nitrogen, we have enough data. I've kind of bumped that up from about 3% to 3.75%, and that's a big jump for us, but typically our data sets have shown that leaf nitrogen, we need to raise that threshold in Virginia. We need more data on sulfur, but that 0.25% is the threshold, and we don't have a single check plot on three sites in 2016. I haven't looked at 2017 data yet, but I think it's going to fall right along these same lines, that we're not going to have any fall below that deficiency. But in 2017, we really didn't see any deficiency symptoms in our test plots visually. So moving on to another category, I was going to talk about all the different treatment combinations, but what I really wanted to really try to just focus on today is how we're going to, for nitrogen-sulfur relations, we're going to really start interpreting and trying to predict yield in season, looking at the different indices, petiole nitrogen to leaf petiole sulfur, leaf nitrogen, leaf sulfur, and combining these ratios to better predict the yield and understand what's going on in the plant. So this is our one responsive site in 2016. This is at Tidewater. This is actually looking at the response surface plot or 3D plot of nitrogen application rate versus sulfur application rate. And on the right, or on the left over there, we have nitrogen application rate. And you see we get a good nitrogen response all the way up to 140 pounds. We do have some spread in the data. But what we typically see is about 100 to 120 pounds. We're maximizing yields on this response surface with nitrogen. And when we rotate that graph and look at sulfur, so we have the zero actually in the right, bottom right-hand corner of the graph of sulfur, what we typically see is around 20 pounds of sulfur we maximize yields. Even though there is some spread in the data, we still see that that's where we kind of optimize yields in terms of sulfur application on our soils. So now we look at 2017. In 2017, we don't have as much spread in the data at the Tidewater site, but again, we see that around that 100 to 120 pounds of nitrogen, we maximize yields. But then what's interesting for the sulfur fertility, we actually decrease yields as we increase sulfur rates. There's a general downward trend there. What we typically see on a little heavier soil types where this site was this year, we typically see that adding sulfur actually delays maturity. That crop stays green longer. And if we think about sulfur deficiency, it's immobile in the plant. So it's going to show in the top of the plant before the bottom of the plant. And what we have is when we put sulfur rates 20 to 30 pounds, that cotton in Virginia, because we have a short window to get it defoliated, stays greener longer. It's harder to defoliate. Actually causes more hardlock bolot issues later in the growing season for us. So actually having that plant stressed a little bit and showing sulfur deficiency actually aids us when it gets into September and October. Now we're going to these indices, these petiole nitrate versus petiole sulfur ratios, and then leaf sulfur, leaf nitrogen ratios. And what basically the take-home point is, when we maximize yield, that ratio for petiole nitrate to petiole S is typically in the 20 to 30 to 1 range. And then in leaf nitrogen and leaf S, we're in about the 8 to 1 range in 2016. And I wanted to test that again. And ironically, we got a little bit different curves. But if you look at the actual breakpoint, we have steep, really steep right here. But once we get around that 20 for the petiole N to petiole S again, it starts to level out in terms of lint yield. And then this is not as strong as relationship as it was in 2016. But again, there seems to be a weak trend here. And that 8 to 1 ratio of leaf N to leaf S seems to be where we're at with these indices. And then we'll look at Southampton, and this is Southampton County in 2017. And again, we see this about 20 to 1 ratio for PN to petiole S. And then leaf N to leaf S, again, is a weak correlation. But I would say it's going to be into that 10 to 8 to 1 ratio there. So that's what we're trying to develop and trying to define, if we could use these tissue analysis to better gauge where our yield's going to be in cotton moving forward. So this in summary of the project, what we typically see is that petiole and tissue sampling are very responsive. Petiole nitrate, petiole sulfur, leaf nitrogen, leaf sulfur all increase with increasing application rates. Except for these deficiency ranges, a little worrisome because that 0.25% was below even our check plots. for sulfur. So we need to really nail down and see if we need to determine what is actually that threshold, that deficiency threshold for Virginia growers in terms of sulfur. High nitrogen application rates with high sulfur rates were actually detrimental to yield in Virginia because of that cutout. The cotton wasn't cutting out. It still wanted to go, and we had some hard lock boll rot issues. And then petiole nitrate to petiole S ratios, 10 to 20. More likely it's going to be around 20 for the petioles, and then leaf end to S is around 8. And that's being, it's confirmed, I guess, or weekly confirmed this year from our site data. So with that, I'd like to thank the Fluid Fertilizer Foundation for funding the project. Tassenderlo Curley donated all the ATS, Waters Agricultural Laboratory donated the samples for the foundation, my two technicians, and then my cooperators for the project. With that, I'll take any questions.
We're a little bit over time, so.